Welcome to ATL in 29, the podcast that looks at the NBA from the starting point of Atlanta. My name is Kevin Chouinard. We're here to wrap up Utah Summer League. I've got Tyler Jones with me. Tyler, what did you think of Hawks Twitter tonight? What kind of performance did we get out of Hawks Twitter?
I actually wasn't paying too much attention to Twitter while watching the game. So
you missed a good show.
I just know that the game, the Summer League, Utah Summer League can be summed up as a train wreck. let's say it just hasn't been the most pleasing to the eye basketball being played. Very rough watch. All three games, really. So not really too enjoyable in that area. But I don't know. I thought, you know, you have fun just watching. You know, it's good to watch basketball and, you know, watch the Hawks play. But can't sit here and pretend that they on a team wide level has played particularly fun basketball.
No, it hasn't been. Any general impressions, or you just kind of want to go player by player here? What would you say if you had to sort of do some overall impressions of, you know, what's here on this team and what style of play they were playing?
Overall impressions is honestly, I wish the Summer League team had more adults, guys that were 27, 28, 29 years old on the team, because it's very apparent watching these other Summer League teams that, you know, they have veterans in the sense that, you know, they have multiple guys who play professional basketball multiple years in Europe and in the G League or whatever. And they just have a confidence to their game that, you know, is very liking in the Hawks as a summer league unit. And so they, like, it's a lot of guys just not playing very smart basketball at points. And it just makes for a tough watch on a personal level. And it probably would have helped if Trey was playing alongside a couple more adults, where as it is right now, he's getting, I mean, he's been the focal point of every defense. All three teams have been really keyed in on him, and he hasn't, you know, his shooting, just, like his scoring and his shooting just has not been there through three games. And yeah, it's, on some level, it's disappointing, but, you know, if I didn't feel that these teams weren't, like, gunning for him and loading up to stop everything that he does well, I feel like during Summer League, these first three games, that the other teams, their primary action is just hounding Trae Young, keeping him away from his spots, forcing, being physical, just, you know, all the stuff that at the NBA level, he's probably not going to be good enough to justify this type of attention. So, you know, I'm not worried, but, you know, it's not ideal at the same time.
Okay. Yeah, let's start with Trae Young. And
what'd you think of Trae Young's game tonight?
I thought still the same. You know, I evaluate Trae on, is he creating separation, whether it's using the pick and roll, whether it's orchestrating our offense. Is he creating separation to where he's at his biggest strength, which is facilitating? And I think he had 6 or 7 assists.
7.
Yeah, and, you know, we shot 34% as a team, so you're not going to get a high number of assists, but it's more about how many shots did he create for our teammates. That's the most important part for a starting point guard here that we've drafted and we're using, and he's playing 30 minutes a game. How many shots can he create? Is he facilitating, and is he making the right decisions when he has the basketball in his hands? I'm not going to look at the stat sheet. It doesn't bother me one bit. The kid is a great shooter. He will be a great shooter. He is a great passer. He's shown that, and we're going to get every opportunity to keep growing him in that role.
When either team was shooting free throws, he was often over there talking to you. What was the typical conversation?
Yeah, you know, like, this is to me, like I said, it's just, this is how I get to get the pulse of each guy and just figure out what's in his head when he finally has a break. What does he see? What does he feel? What does he want to run? You know, trying to empower him a little bit. But we just have dialogue about what's going on in the game. He tells me sometimes what he sees and what he feels. I'm trying to correct and help him in some areas as well, but it's just good to keep talking to him throughout the course of the game.
You know, as a segue, I'd say that I agree with you that there's not that much around him. You know, If I wanted the Hawks to win these three games, I would kill to have some shooting on the wing, because they just don't have that. And so the spacing is not ideal. It's like a mosh pit. Every time somebody drives, there's just no room.
And you know what? When Lori Pierce decided just to go with four wings and one big, I felt like finally Trae Young had some room to operate in the lane. That's been a real killer for him, that, you know, the shooting just isn't there. And Lloyd may just, or Jent going into Vegas may just look at playing four wings and maybe playing Jalen Adams at the three alongside Tyler Dorsey, or
he'd be a small three. But I completely agree.
Tyler Dorsey at the three. Tyler Dorsey at three. But just do something to get as much shooting as possible when Trae Young is in the game, because, I mean, on one hand, it sucks that Trae can't make a jump shot, and it looks really bad when he doesn't understand how, you know, you can't. Like, just because you beat your guy in front of you doesn't mean they can't go over the top. You're not that big. You got to do a little bit extra. You got to take another extra half dribble. You know, maybe need to flop a little bit more to accentuate some contact that you're receiving. You know, it's just, you know, he's 19 years old, and he's got to learn. Like, for him, he really has to learn the dark arts to really get the most out of his, you know, inside, you know, his paint scoring, trying to finish inside. But
it's hard.
You know, his outside shooting just hasn't been there. Like, he's not making his shots. You can feel the frustration with every three-pointer he's taking, because it's not as if he's not getting himself open on a lot of these looks. Like, he's making great moves to get separation. He's getting his shot off. It's just not falling. And it's just, you know, it sucks as a fan, because you want your, you know, number five overall pick to dominate, but at the same time, the shooting isn't there, and the basketball IQ as a collective just isn't there as a team. Because again, it's a bunch of rookies and a bunch of guys who've only maybe been in Europe for a year at most. So it's going to be a grind.
One of the things that you kind of see when you're in the arena that maybe doesn't come across on the broadcast is, like, you know, he's there, he's 19, and he's there with a lot of other young players too, other 19-year-olds, but a lot of guys that are 22, 23. He's out there coaching them up on where they're supposed to be. You know, he's giving out a lot of advice to people on, you know, what they're supposed to be doing. There's a lot of wrong motions that he's trying to kind of get people to go to the right places when they haven't been. So I think he understands the offense and knows what it's supposed to be. But
his floor game has been outstanding. I talked about on the previous podcast this week, but I mean, his passing has just been amazing. Like, he's doing a great job of getting the defense to load up on him and then making that James Harden type quick decision for the open corner three. And you know, it's great to see that the Hawks have a basketball player that can make that type of read. It would just be nice if he could complement that part of his game with his shooting.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just frustrating. I can imagine it's just frustrating for him, because if there was just a bit more talent on this Hawks summer league team, I feel like he could really use DeAndre Bembry's ability to run the offense, right? And then, so then maybe he could focus more on getting off the ball and wouldn't have to, you know, try to do everything. Tyler Dorsey's alleviating some of that pressure, but the offense in general just isn't the same unless Trae Young is running it. On the bright side, all the starters were in the positive on plus minus, at least based on ESPN's box score. You know, it's summer league, so I don't know, but in general, it felt like the starters It felt like the starters had played a great game as a team. None of these guys can make a shot, and it's one of those things where, hey, you know, you're playing the right way. And I do feel like, in general, they're playing how Pierce wants them to play. The shots just aren't going down, and, you know, the flow is off with Trey in particular, when he's, you know, when he's not hitting his deep threes, it may be affecting him and maybe affecting him more than it should when he's driving, where he's trying to force the issue against larger, more athletic opponents with longer wingspans.
Right.
But, you know, he'll learn, like, he's got the skills, he's got the talent. You see it in some of his, even in some of his finishes. You know, it's not consistent, but, you know, he's shown the ability. So, it, you know, if I'm a Hawks fan, it sucks, but I wouldn't personally be concerned. It's also only three games, so
right.
We'll see how he does. And Vegas should be more open, and I do feel like, you know, maybe Pierce and Gent found something with going to a four-wing unit and just trying to get as much shooting as they possibly can on this roster, because it's, in general, the shooting is just not there.
Right. I mean, the only shooting lineup you can even make is pretty much Trae Young, Jalen Adams, Tyler Dorsey. I mean, there really isn't another shooting lineup. There's that's it. That's the only way you can fill three yeah. perimeter positions with shooters is those three. There's no other iteration. That's the only one. But a couple yep. of things. I mean that you're right about the starters being plus all being in the positives. And so you look at Trae Young and it's like, okay, he had 12 points, he had 7 assists, and he had 10 points. But he was plus 12, so, you know, it's not like they got bludgeoned when he was out there tonight. He was making some plays. Two things that I've seen out of him that get me a little bit nervous, and one of them is just kind of obvious, but, you know, when other teams have fast break opportunities and you can't get to your own man, when he can't get to, you know, guarding the point guard and he has to guard somebody much bigger than him, That's just an awful situation. He doesn't do well in that situation at all. Like, he might as well not be there.
He's a complete non-factor in transition.
He's going to have to learn, like, while we're in Utah, he's going to have to learn the John Stockton foul or something. Just come up with a bludgeoning foul, and hopefully it won't be an and one or something. And he's going to have to stay out of foul trouble so he can use those fouls like that, because he really gets stuck in those kind of situations. Another one that bothers me a little bit more, you know, if we subtract the few three-pointers that he made and look at all the other field goals that he made, he got knocked down to the ground on almost every single one. You know, whether it was contact or just kind of leaning off balance, it's kind of like Isaiah Thomas a little bit, that he's just small, and when he tries to go into the paint to finish, he's got to lean so far over to one side to get that shot up that he never comes down on his feet. And, you know, that's bad for a couple of reasons. One is it takes a pounding out of you. But the other is, if you miss those shots, it's a mismatch in transition the other way.
Yeah, so that comes up with a couple of factors. One, he's got to get stronger. And two, he's got to learn how to, like, and this goes back to my earlier point where he just has to get more skilled and learn how to flop better and accentuate contact, and just so that he can protect himself, so that, you know, the defender knows that, hey, if I do this movement, he's going to flop and get the foul call, and I can't do that. I think he tried to do that a couple times tonight, and it didn't work. But, you know, it's just one of those skill development things he's got to work on. But yeah, I mean, he's a small guy. He's not big. He's got to get stronger. He's got to get, you know, he's got to get a bit tougher. He doesn't have the, you know, he's not that athletic. But at the same time, I do feel like it probably wouldn't be so noticeable that he's getting, you know, dropped to the ground, and every time he's going for a layup, if he'd make these shots, so that the pressure would be off him a bit more, you know, where, you know, if he's able to make these jumpers and his floaters that he's getting to, you know, he'll have more room, because, you know, the defender, It's one thing to follow a scouting report, but it's another, like, it's one thing to follow a scouting report and Trae Young say, hey, you can't give this up, you can't give that up. But if you give it up and you don't get punished for it, then you can last a little bit and take away, you know, the easiest shot in the game, which is a layup, and, you know, crash down harder on him. It all just comes back down to he's got to make it. He has to make these jumpers, or he's just
sure.
It's just not going to cut it.
I mean, that's that one's definite. If he's not a jump shooter, that life's going to be hard. What'd you think about that play where he got tangled up with Grayson Allen?
Not much to think about. It's Grayson. I can't believe Grayson Allen's still doing this. I don't know if you noticed on an earlier play, like Grayson Allen got called for a foul for tripping, and he absolutely tripped.
I didn't get the slow motion, but I know the play you're talking about. I thought it was incidental. Yeah. It wasn't incidental. I tried, but I didn't have a good replay.
You can say it's incidental in that, but, you know, he's got a reputation, and it's I was like, okay, you clearly tried to trip, dude. Like, it's one of those things where, do you believe if he didn't want to put his leg out there and, you know, trip him to stop the fast break, he could have, you know, he's a good enough athlete to easily get out the way. But Grayson doesn't get the benefit of the doubt of it. He left his foot out there to draw the foul. It wasn't as egregious as his other attempts in college, but he definitely tried to trip him. And then on, I don't know what he was doing, Trae beat him. He fouled him, but instead of just letting the play go, he decided to, you know, show how much stronger than he is than Trae Young. And it's just a nonsense play. And I'm like, man, it's not even the regular season. These games don't matter. Can you not try to rip his shoulder out of his socket, please? Like, can we wait till you play a meaningful game? I don't know, man. I don't understand. I get it. Honestly, I wish, you know, if I were owner or a GM of the Hawks, the executive Hawks, I'd be like, you know, the NBA needs to run a tighter ship with these summer league games. The physicality is a bit ridiculous. It's not this physical in the NBA. It's shocking that referees are just letting people get away with all this junk. I'm like, you just wouldn't, like the play where John Collins had his nose broken, or it felt like his nose broken on the previous night.
Right.
You know, dude swiped down hard on his face, and it's like, that should be a flagrant. Like, review it, call a flagrant one, and give him two free throws so the guy knows not to do that play again. Tonight, Alpha Kaba, you know, I thought he played okay, but, I mean, he smacked down hard on Grace Allen's face, and he missed the ball completely. And I'm just like, what is going on? This is not basketball.
Well, it's summer league for the refs, too. These aren't the regular refs. These are the summer refs.
Yeah, and, you know, they're very inconsistent on when they're calling fouls, and I don't know. It's just, you know, clean it up. Tell guys, hey, man, I get why they're playing so hard. A lot of these guys are playing for, you know, NBA money or a G League spot that's, you know, worth a lot of money, too. So, you know, they're going all out. But it's reckless, and it's going to get somebody hurt to me. So, I don't know. Hopefully it's cleaner in Vegas. But
so, did you see who came running over in the Grayson Allen play?
Yeah, Spellman, he needs to. He was going to swing on him. I'm glad he didn't. In a summer league game, I'm like, man, oh man, these dudes are just full of testosterone and need to just chill out. Like, go enjoy the Utah, you know, plains. I don't know what's in Utah.
There's not that much.
You know, do something. Like, you know, go out, like, get away from basketball for a second. Like, enjoy life. There are more things to life than this basketball game. And Amari, like, I love you, dude. I like the passion, but man, save it for October, please. Like, I don't need you getting in a fight and getting suspended and costing yourself money for games that just at the end of the day don't matter. Like, just, you know, channel that, you know. And that, if we can transition to Amari real quick, I thought, on one hand, I think through these three games, he's shown why he was a first-round draft pick and deserving of it. He's very talented.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, he's got some stuff to work on. He's got to get smarter. I think, you know, defensively, he's on and off with his positioning. I feel like, you know, that's just something that's going to come with the territory. He's just got to learn the NBA game and where to be at all times as a defender. But, you know, these past two games, I do feel like he's competing a much, much better as a rebounder. He's cleaning up the glass a lot better than what he did in his first game. So that's good to see. The shot, you know, he's, for some reason, maybe he's rushing his shot because he's not like I feel like he has two jumpers, one where he's just line driving the ball into the rim. And then the other one, it looks like the shot that he shot at Villanova. So he might be going through an adjustment period to the NBA three-point line with that.
I add one thing to that?
Go ahead.
Just a couple of things. Separate. One is just talking about Amari for a minute. It's kind of like a low. It doesn't have a lot of trajectory to it. And there's a lot of wrist in it. It's almost, the wrist thing is almost a hitch. I mean, it goes in too much to really call it a hitch, but he's definitely using a lot of wrist on that shot. And another thing is, you know, you talk about the Hawks. They had just an awful shooting week, you could say, right?
Yeah.
They're going hard. I'm pretty sure Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday before all three games, they were going hard in practice at Park City, about an hour away and about 5,000 feet up from here at elevation. And not only that, but they were doing it in a gym that had like the 18-foot, 9-inch three-point line. Like, not even like the college line that's a foot back. It didn't have an NBA three-point line. So it was hard, I think, for them to even get any real feel for where the three-point line even is in those practices. There was no, you know, there were no supplementary lines added to those courts. It was just, you know, they were doing their drills and their positioning things and the play sets, but I don't think they could get a good feel for the three-point line in those practices.
I think they'll shoot better in Vegas.
I think so too, from practicing with an actual line.
Yeah, that, and I don't know, maybe the elevation was hampering everything about their games a lot more than, you know, they probably realized. You know, on the other end, none of the rookies at Utah really, other than Jaren Jackson's,
right,
you know, beast of the game, his first game.
Right.
I mean, his last two, he was just, you know, okay.
Right. No, I hear you. There were no standout rookies.
There were really no standout rookies besides the one Triple J game. So,
and I don't want to get back into Trae Young too much, but one other thing that I wanted to add is that in the second game, not so much tonight, but in the last game, it looked like he had his hands on his knees quite a bit. There was one point where, like, he was even over with, you know, he spent a lot of time talking to Lloyd Pierce during free throws. You know, when you get that pause, mm-hmm, in the game, he would almost always go over to Lloyd Pierce. And at one point, you know, he went over to Lloyd Pierce and was talking to Pierce, but he was like doing the hands on knees, the telltale sign of I'm gassed and I just need a second to stoop and catch my breath. So I think there's it's not like a serious conditioning thing, but when you're playing at altitude and you're playing as much as they did in a week, if you count all the practices, the long practices and stuff, I think he's going to catch his wind at some point, maybe a week from now, and that will help his shooting.
He may have a conditioning issue. You know, GQ did an article about his one thing, just his workout regimen and how he's trying, how he gained, you know, 10 to 12 pounds or whatever.
Right.
To up, you know, and I think you, when
that's
you're,
another adjustment too. Yeah.
When you're trying to gain weight, you know, it,
that's a different workout
probably,
than the
probably
cardio.
Not in the, he's probably not in the basketball cardio shape that he needs to be in.
Right.
Brad Rowland put out a great, observation I felt was that, you know, it's something we've all said that, you know, when Trae Young doesn't have the ball, he has to move.
Yep.
He had, he set a great screen for a lot of, I think for Spellman, on one play, but you know, he's got to do that type of stuff all the time. You know, when you don't have the ball, go set a screen, you know, fade to the corner, cut. You know, you don't just stand there. You're making it too easy for defenses to guard him. And I think that's something that the coaching staff is probably going to harp on him during the summer. He's like, hey, you know, when we get to these NBA games, you have to be in incredible shape. Look at how your contemporaries play off the ball. Steph Curry, Dame Lillard, you know, those types of talent, or, you know, even as an elite shooter, right? You know, I still consider him to be a great shooter, even though he can't make a bucket. You know, guys like Kyle Korver, Klay Thompson, you know, you always have to be moving.
Yeah.
So you can't make it, like, you have to make it difficult for a defense, because that's just going to open up the game for everybody else. But, you know, that's where I really wish Bembry was there playing with him, because maybe he'd be pushed to do that a lot more than Dorsey, who's managing, but it's not been ideal to me with his feel. You know, Dorsey's feel for the game just isn't as high as it needs to be a primary playmaker.
He doesn't pass enough. He has blinders. There was one play in game two. What was that, the Spurs game?
Yep.
There was like a
I know pick, the play you're was, talking about.
You know? Oh, okay. I'm gonna check back with you in a second. So, Collins
you want me,
and Dorsey.
You want me to say it or,
No. Yeah. Collins and Dorsey run a pick and roll. Dorsey comes around. Collins has a clear path to the hoop. He's ready to lob. He's loading up to get up. The pass never comes. Meanwhile, Trae Young is doing exactly what you were just asking him to do, which is he's moving without the ball. He comes around an off-ball screen, gets open at the top, slaps his hands, ready to get the pass. It doesn't come. This is the same play, and he has two teammates open doing what each does best, and they both kind of just shook their heads at the end of the play because the pass didn't come to either of them. And Dorsey missed a shot.
Yeah, that he had that one against the Spurs. He had another one where he drove into three guys, and he had Trae Young wide open in the corner, like the strong side corner. And just, I mean, he ended up getting free throws out of it, but it's just, you know, that's not, you know, for better or worse, that's not Dorsey's game. Like, he's a scorer.
He's a scorer. I mean, he's a good rebounder. His jump shot looks great. His conditioning looks great. But his passing, his feel for the game in that part is just not really up to par. He's got his blinders on. And, you know, that actually helps him in one way. He's getting to the free throw line a lot. Like, he doesn't pass, but that means, you know, what's the alternative? It means he's taking into the contact a lot and getting to the free throw line. But still, it's not a recipe for success when the ball isn't moving where it has to go. And he's not.
Agreed.
I mean, what about his defense? What do you think about his defense?
It was better tonight.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, I think collectively as a team on the perimeter, you know, they brought it finally. You know, Morris has been good all three games. I thought finally Dorsey actually, you know, put some genuine pressure on the ball handler when he's going up against somebody one-on-one to negatively affect them. Same with Artonius Cleveland. I think this was Cleveland's best game by far.
I agree.
Showed why he has a, you know, an NBA contract at the moment. You know, he played with a lot of effort tonight, something that was missing. I personally felt like it was missing the previous two games, but hopefully he can build on this performance.
Not like he's dogging it. It's just that his skill level is such that he kind of just has to be a chaos guy out there. And he did really well at that. Like, he got a lot of junk baskets tonight. Like, if there was a loose ball near the rim, he'd just kind of grab it and go up and put it in. You know, got some offensive rebounds. You know, picked up some loose balls. He doesn't have the super polished NBA game, so he kind of has to be an agent of physical assertiveness.
He's got to play to his athletic gifts. You know, to me, the previous two games, if you didn't know who Antonius Cleveland was, you wouldn't think he was somebody with a NBA contract. And on that note, it was good to see Jalen Morris, you know, knock some threes down. Because I felt like, I mean, to me personally, between the two, he's been like, it's clear that Morris is the better player, but Cleveland is much more talented and just bigger. So it was good for on Morris's end that, you know, he was able to knock some threes down, because to me, he's playing the right way. Right. He's just not, it's just not there for him with his jumper. And his jumper's not there. He's just not big enough to be carried in his other areas.
Okay. Who else is there to talk about? Anybody else you want to chime in on?
Not really.
The roster's kind of shallow when you get past the first few. The contract guys?
I guess Jack Landale, is that his name?
Jock.
Yeah, Jock. I wish he were like 2% more athletic, because he's always in the right place. He's making the right plays. He's in the right area on both ends of the floor, but
I would just disagree a little bit, because there were a couple of times where, you know, Trae Young was trying to lead the show out there, and he wasn't on the same page with Trae Young. I mean, like, rebounding wise and stuff, he gets what a big guy is supposed to do in the middle, but like in terms of like setting picks and stuff, there were some awkwardness.
I must have missed those, because to me, well, at least more defensively, I'm not really paying too much attention to what they're doing offensively, because the talent's not there outside of John Collins with these bigs. It was good to see Omari Spellman, take guys off the bounce a couple times from the 3-point line. But, right. You know, overall, outside of John Collins, like, just the general talent level isn't there when it comes to rolling to the rim and setting screens and all that good stuff. So, like, to me, Landale's been pretty impressive with his rim protection, considering he doesn't jump. He's pretty good at being physical with verticality. And, Trey set him up a couple times for some lobs. He just hasn't been able to finish. But I'll say Landale's an interesting prospect. I've liked him more than Kaba, who He's just Alpha Kaba. He was okay tonight, I guess, because he played more. But, you know, it's just the feel for the game to me isn't there with him. Hopefully he can get it either in the G League or in Europe.
Yeah, he's a little bit older. He is, I don't know,
I mean, he
gets rebounds.
He's got long arms. Yeah, he gets rebounds.
Contest shots at the rim.
When he's in position, but then there are other times where, it's just he's made some plays. Let's put it like that. It's not like he's a nothing burger. He's talented, but there's just some skill development. He needs some serious skill development work on both ends of the floor.
I would say mostly offense, but yeah, his positioning on defense. Yeah,
he's got to use his hands. He has to use his hands better because he can't. Like, some of his fouls are comically bad, where he's in great position and then you're needlessly reaching, but not using your wingspan. Like, he's got to be smarter on both ends of the floor. Offensively, it's just maybe he'd look better if there was more spacing on this team. You could say that about a lot of these guys, sure, including Trae Young. So that sucks. And if you can see why Schlenk targeted Kevin Huerter at 19, because at the next level he has to play. Trae has to play alongside shooting. He's just not big enough. He's not big enough, and he doesn't have the athletic advantage to simply just take over a game in that way. He can't bowl a guy over. He has to be smarter. And if he's going to be smarter, spacing has to be there. So,
I hear you. So, I had a question. Now I forgot it. I know what it was. I was going to say you were talking about Alfa-Cabba fouling. He only fouled twice. Two fouls in 13 minutes. That's not bad. Deontay Davis had 8 in 22 minutes tonight. How do you get 8 fouls?
You play in Utah Summer League where maybe they call a foul and maybe they don't, so you might as well foul anyway. I don't know. Cabo's a bit reckless to me. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but it's clearly unintentional that he hit Grace Allen in the face, but that type of foul speaks to a level of lack of coordination. Same with when just got bowled over because, Cabo wasn't paying much attention to the guy in front of him, what he was doing. It's just the lack of coordination is apparent to me with him.
And
it shows up offensively when it's not queued up for him to a T.
Did you see what Cabo's jump shot looks like?
It's a funky release, but it went in from, 8 feet or wherever he shot it.
He made one tonight, but if you look at his shot, like, from dead on, you know how they talk about kind of keeping your elbow in?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, his is like the extreme of that. Like, it's way in. It's like, I don't know. It seems like, if there's whatever the textbook measurement is for keeping your elbow in, his is like 20 degrees past that, which, I mean, if you watch him shooting it in warm-ups, to 15 feet, it looks pretty good. It goes in, but it seems like the kind of shot where he's probably never going to get it out to three-point range.
Nah, probably not.
I asked him tonight, what his plans for long-term, whether he thought he would be coming over, soon, or whether the plan was for him to come over in a year or whatnot, and here's what he said.
Do you know what the long-term plan is for you? Like, are you trying to get over as quick as you can, or spend another year in Europe, or just wait and see?
I don't know. That's why I'm here,
You're just trying to see.
I'm trying to show up, during the summer league. That's when I get my opportunities, So I really don't know what's going to happen. And just trying to make my time here, for the summer league. And why not stay here for the next season?
So, he kind of made it sound a little bit like it was up in the air. I'm not sure that there's a roster spot for him, but, maybe in a year. He has the athletic gifts, but he's got to work on the awareness and the, like you said, and just the overall feel for the game. It's like he needs to play more basketball. Even with Osvel last season, he was only playing like 19 minutes a game. And that's not that crazy for Europe because they really do more of an even split between the starters and the bench over there on a lot of teams. But it would be so great for his development if he was playing like 26 minutes instead of 19 or 27 minutes. He just needs to play more.
Agreed. And it's one of those things where, honestly, on one hand, it's good, he looks to be in great shape, but to me, his best development will probably happen in the NBA, which, you know, NBA development, but, you know, he may not meet that criteria just based on his, you know, play overseas. So,
right.
I don't know. I hope, you know, hopefully he can get there. He's got the talent. It's one of those things where, you know, if he can carve out a space for himself defensively and be an elite, you know, rim protector and switch guy, you know, there'll always be a place in the league for bigs that can do that.
Right. All right. I'll get you out of here. One last question. What is the over-under for regular season technical fouls for Omari Spellman? Because he's got the fire, and I love the fire, but he's going to get some technicals. How many do you think he gets this season?
It's a good question. Probably around 5, maybe.
Oh, goodness.
Put it at 5.
Oh, well, I am keeping that record. We're going to check at the end of the season. It's going to be nowhere near 5. It's going to be.
What, you think 10. It's going to be more?
I think it'll be like 10.
I hear you. I hear what you're saying. No way. That's Draymond Green levels, and he's just a rookie, so I don't. No way. Like, he won't play if he's.
See, the thing is, he's not going to. It's not even going to be like the disrespect technicals, like the technical you get from mouthing off to a ref. It's going to be the double technicals, like he did tonight. It was a double technical. It's the, there's a foul, there's a little bit of a push, and the other guy pushes back. There's going to be a lot of that, and there'll be the quick double technical play on, and you won't really notice it that much, but then you look at the stat sheet at the end of the season, there's going to be more than 5.
It's one of those things where it depends on how much he values his money. Let me put it that way. You know, technicals ain't cheap, and he's not making Draymond Green money. So if he's getting more than 5, he's risking a hefty sum of money.
Not your typical cat, though. He's a free thinker. I mean, I don't know. I love the way he plays. I don't know. I'm all in on Omari Spellman and the intensity he's going to bring. I just think that he kind of plays by a code. He's not going to take any crap.
That's fair, but at the same time, you know, he shouldn't get a technical.
He's an idealist. That's probably the best way to put it. Like,
yeah,
he's not the pragmatic type to go, oh wow, this is good. No, he's the kind that says, hey, that's not fair. Look what happened here. You know, I think he's very much an idealist, and you're going to see that play out in the technical fouls.
I feel like if he gets more than 5 technicals, then the veterans on the Hawks have done a very poor job of mentoring him as a basketball player. That's just – like, you get more than 5 in the NBA season. That's Rasheed Wallace, Draymond Green levels of – DeMarcus Cousins levels of just complete disrespect for the referees. I hear what you say about double technicals, but those situations, like, do those really count? You know, double techs. I mean, they go up on the board.
Maybe he might get away with some rescinded ones.
You'll get a bunch of those rescinded. Like, it'll be a bunch of nothing. It might happen. You know, he'll have more than the average rookie, but I mean, to me, more than 5 in a season, that's a lot. You know, so. But we'll see. I don't have anything to wager on that, but we'll see with him. You know, to me, hopefully he can channel that passion into being a smarter basketball player. Maybe I'm older, but it's just like that. You know, getting needless technical fouls don't impress me, and so you know. It depends on – there's a time and a place for it. And, you know, if he picks his spots well, then fine. But if he's Like, I'll be really annoyed with him if a rookie's getting more than five technicals in the NBA.
All right.
I'll put it like that.
Thank you for staying up past your bedtime. Got anything you want to
end past with? My bedtime. It is 12:53 for the people listening. I'm trying my best here. Make sure you like and subscribe. We do great. You know, we're trying to do some great work here. Build this podcast up. Kevin's great. And, you know, give him a follow at KL Chouinard. Don't ask me to spell it because my phone's not up. And you can follow me at Jonesy2x4. And have a good night, everybody. Or I guess good morning. God, it's late. I'm sorry.
Get some sleep. Thank you, sir.
No problem.